This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director since 1977, and we're going to be talking about one of the candidates for the Sioux Falls City Council, Allison Renville, who's an activist, political strategist with over 20 years organizing experience. She lives in the northwest area of Sioux Falls, and Jacqueline Franken, who's Director of Communication Political Advocate in Sioux Falls with her, Native American. And I learned from you talking earlier that there's about 10,000 Native Americans in Sioux Falls, and it's quite a community, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, there could be anywhere from the 9 tribes here represented to over 27 tribes that are here represented in Sioux Falls.
Now, when you say 27 tribes, is that from all over?
Yeah, and that could be any different 27 tribes at any given time. Thankfully, with the freedoms that we have in South Dakota, you're technically a resident after spending 24 hours here in South Dakota itself. And so anyone at any time, anyone on a couch, anyone staying overnight, if you're here longer than 24 hours, technically you could be considered a resident.
Now, how do you, I didn't know that before. I just learned last week or so that you don't have to pass the bar exam to become an attorney in South Dakota. That's one of the few states that does that, but so if you come into Sioux Falls and you stay in a motel overnight, you can go apply for a driver's license?
Yep, and for a lot of organizations, it's places like the Bishop Dudley or the Banquet that you're able to go down and use that as a temporary address to obtain identification.
In other words, they tell you how to do it.
Yep, and just as much as anyone turning 18, anytime you update your ID or any kind of identification, you have the option to re-register or get registered for the first time.
Again, talking to you earlier before we started the microphone, you were talking concerned about out of that 10,000, there's a few that disappear every week.
Yeah, and I think that's really important for a lot of people to be able to be conscious of, because sometimes, you know, we're so caught up in our own personal lives, we don't realize that there are other sides to the situation that, you know, we see as being safe. Unfortunately, for the epidemic of murdered and missing Indigenous women, we are nowhere near missing the opportunity to be part of that. And it's at any given time, even the last time that I looked at the list myself, there were currently 8 women missing, ranging from the ages of 12, 13 to about 39 or 40. And so if you even just kind of Google it, you look up, statistics and stuff right now for the city, and there is always a really big list of women.
Yeah, the state attorney general has a list, and it just goes on and on and on. Talking to Allison Renville, running for at large, one of 3, I believe, right?
Yes.
For the council voting coming up
April 9th.
Yes,
that's a Tuesday. So go vote for your school board and your council. Why did you want to throw your hat in the ring?
Well, you know, the more I get involved in the city, the one thing that keeps ending up happening is that I'm the only Native American in the room. And so that kind of started to bug me a little bit, because not only am I coming from a tribal community, I'm coming from a strong family as a Renville. And I was always told, if I'm not satisfied with what I'm hearing or with my options, that it's up to me to speak up to make sure that my concerns are at the table.
Well, you've had a hard struggle. You know, like I say, there's been a lot of things the federal government hasn't been very treating you very well, and you've had to fight uphill. So you kind of know how to fight City Hall, I guess you might say, in a sense. But the tribal and the village councils or governments, are they much different than ours?
Actually, they're probably a lot more efficient, considering they do run under federal regulations. And then under the guise of sovereignty, we do get to, you know, figure it out for ourselves. And so if there is something that is inefficient, we are pretty quick to figure it out on how to you know, regulate those problems. But, you know, one really important thing that I think people and the voters need to know is that, coming from this environment, I've seen successful programs before. I know what a successful program looks like when it's operating with everyone's intentions at the table, but also with accurate funding, oversight, and regulations under this.
Well, we just hit 300,000, so that puts us in a different category again. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You've had like I say, 20 years organizing experience. So you've even worked in radio, we were talking about.
Mm. Yeah, I started off in high school visiting, the local teenage DJs who used to play our Sunday nights when we'd drive around rural South Dakota here. But at 19, I started working with the DCCC. I worked for Stephanie Herseth right out the gate. So thankfully, I was able to, again, come out of the gate with something so successful as having our first female congresswoman.
Tell us, where you're from originally.
Well, I'm Hunkpapa Lakota. I was born and raised with my mother's family in Sisseton, South Dakota. So I'm also Sisseton, Wakbetuan. And I'm also Omaha from down Macy over in outside of Sioux City. My family itself, historically, my great-great-grandfather was Gabriel Renville, who was the original treaty signer of the Lake Travers de Sioux Treaty that helped expand into Dakota territory. Well, expand Dakota, go from Minnesota to into South Dakota. And his brother is actually John Renville, who had a lot to do with the Amadon Affair and helped save dozens and probably over 100 lives that day when he got them to flee the Sioux Valley in preparation for a war party that was coming during the Dakota War.
So you've got quite a family history.
Oh, big time, big time. And only so much ahead of us as well.
Well, it's kind of like Jimmy Stewart going to Washington. He came from the reservation to Sioux Falls.
Mm.
And you've been living in Sioux Falls now for a few years in the Northwest area, which is really quite a boom town part of Sioux Falls.
Yep, and that's actually where I reside as well. And although I'm just right outside the school district, it's really cool to see all of the things pop up along the way. But at the same time, I'm meeting a lot of community members who have a lot of concerns. Are we going too fast? Are we moving too fast? I mean, you could avoid Marion for 2 weeks and come back, and all of a sudden, this is one thing I like to say is that there's a Dairy Queen there now. And where did that Dairy Queen come from? But these are good things. These are good things. If this is going to increase the chance of us getting proper walkways where, boys aren't getting hit by cars anymore. Unfortunately, there was a Native kid that got killed by a driver last summer there on that road up in North Marion as well in my district. And so, the fact of the matter is that, like, our people here, the Lakota Nation, Dakota, Native American people here in Sioux Falls are heavily affected by the rapid change of even transportation. We're talking about the roads and stuff. And when we're saying, how are we going to change places like 12th? Well, all I know is that we don't have the capacity to widen those roads. And so we have to think of innovative ways to improve what we already have. And I like to kind of piggyback that into the importance of talking about the transportation system, because right now the bus system is a big topic for a lot of people.
One thing I got it, and when I get a chance, I thank the city because they did offer veterans free rides on the bus.
Oh, cool.
Nobody asked them to do that. They just went ahead and did it. And that, I think the veterans, we can say we appreciate that because they can get to the VA. It goes right to the VA. And I rode the bus for a little while when my vehicle was in the shop. And if you really look at the bus routes, you can get around the city pretty good.
Right.
At least to a point where you can take a cab pretty cheap. But we're growing so much now, it's way beyond the bounds of what the bus routes, have been.
Right.
It's not an easy thing. They work hard on it, but it's not an easy answer to it. But Jacqueline Franklin, Director of Communication at Political Advocate, you're working with Allison. Why?
Honestly, this has been a pleasure to answer this question. When I support or back a particular candidate, I really think about their true core values and what I've really seen as a person for their integrity and their goals. And truly, this has been an honor to witness someone throughout the few years that we've known each other who is a devout servant of the community, understands the roles, and does a lot of research and works really bipartisan and gets along very well in the sandbox with many key figures. She is really doing the grassroots work herself, which is really just, it's so high spirited to even see someone that would go out into the community, engage with, tens and hundreds of people in the freezing cold. If I remember, there were some days it was rough getting those last signatures, but doing it humbly, quietly, and really thoroughly. I think that she serves the community in such a beautiful manner. She's got a great voice for her people and to serve the people of Sioux. I really think that this particular candidate has strong ties, even just a little bit deeper as being a mother and someone that thoroughly understands the plight of some of the individuals and some of the things that have happened, an increase in housing and the development overgrowth. She's really got a knack into social justice and criminal and activism here, and engages in a wide variety of arenas, and is very thorough about being the people's really voice. So I'm very excited to be in her corner.
Jacqueline Franken talking about Alison Renville. Now, to get a petition, you need, what, 200 signatures? And a lot of people probably didn't know you. That's not easy to go out and you did it yourself.
Well, I really like to rely on people that I can trust, and also rely on people that do know me. And so I was actually able to put on over 1,000 miles driving around the city of Sioux Falls. And what I would do was hit up the first person and then be like, okay, well, if you know anybody else, then they would send me across town. And so I was consistently seeing people who were, if not already aware of me, but at least aligned through proximity, because I'm sure, you know, we all have a lot of the same beliefs as the same community members.
Well, you got the petition, you're in the running now, and tell us about your family. You've got kids?
Yes, I have a 16-year-old son, and then I have a 4-year-old. And like many other women, I struggled with my fertility and went through the Sanford system. One of my first big stays here in Sioux Falls was experiencing the NICU and labor and delivery and everything at Sanford, and then continuing my care on from there. And then as I kind of got more involved in the city and stuff, it's been really cool.
Well, you've experienced the teenager, and the NICU is an experience in itself. For those who don't know, that can be taking a you learn a lot from that too.
Oh yeah,
Avera and Sanford are the biggest employers in Sioux Falls. Are they doing enough for, you know, they're supposed to be a nonprofit? Are they doing enough to pay back to the community?
You know, is anything ever really enough when things are ever changing? You know, so I think it's really important for us to kind of start looking at them more and expanding their capacity on how to help the city. You know, we do know that there is a huge epidemic in not just methamphetamines and fentanyl, but, you know, a lot of problems with mental health. And so there's a limited amount of people who can go into the system. And so if we can challenge people like Avera and Sanford to put more money towards mental health services and chemical dependency services, then perhaps we can get more than the existing beds and help more people as they come in.
Recently, they started, I believe it's called The Link. It's kind of a triage. That's helped, hasn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, unfortunately, like I said, there's only so many things that they can do after they go through The Link. I was available to someone that I helped extract out of a human trafficking situation, and went through The Link myself. And they were very quick to share information about nothing specific, because if obviously that they couldn't, but, you know, to find out from people who are directly impacted by human trafficking and seeing MMIW come through, I was able to find out that at the time that there was an influx of Lakota women coming through The Link with the same experience.
A lot of the human trafficking, a large part of that is Native American.
Mm-hmm.
It's like homeless, a third of those are veterans. So there's a lot of things that we can do. Is the city geared up to do enough for the growth that we have? They say there isn't gangs in Sioux Falls, but we know there is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're at a level that you probably hear a little more about the gangs in Sioux Falls.
Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, we're not having a big enough conversation about not just our own personal roles in this, but the systemic roles of, you know, gangs being more prominent than our own culture. Unfortunately, we are just a huge melting pot in kind of not really encouraging individualism as much as we used to. The city itself is just like, you know, we're experiencing our each other's traumas and each other's dramas in everyday life, because we are that close in contact with each other. And so, you know, if we can kind of start designating certain spaces, we'll be that general with it. Designating specific spaces for specific demographics of people can only help build community, but also help build us as a city. You know, we look at places like Minnesota or Chicago or places that have we've been going, well, we're all down to drive 4, 5, 8 hours to just get out of Sioux Falls long enough to get a little bit of culture. You know, fortunately, we have the Washington Pavilion here. We have a lot of concert opportunities. But, you know, with this new project coming, I personally, as someone who grew up going to concerts and going to the bigger cities, I really hope this is an opportunity to bring more people and more talent to the city of Sioux Falls.
Well, Allison Renville, who's running for at-large council coming up here in April 9th, and Jacqueline Franken, Director of Communication, political advocate for here in Sioux Falls. The gangs, though, are they working together?
The last update that I got was that, you know, it's a little bit of a, what do you want to call it, a neutral zone. It's become a hub, unfortunately. We are far off in the country where, you know, we're always like 5 miles away from a cornfield, and it's not necessarily playing in our favor this time because it's quiet out here. And so with the influx of law enforcement as well, there are more officers to take on these cases and things, but at the same time, there's so many people coming through. And with the transient situation I mentioned, at any point in time, anybody can be here. You know, they could also leave. And so it's really hard. And I'm hearing that they come here and hide out for a little bit, because for the most part, a lot of the gangs are too busy fighting the DTF and the police officers. And so they're, yes, it's great. You know, our police station and our police department is efficient in some ways. But when it comes to the disparities between the treatment of non-Native people and Native people, it really is bothersome. You know, recently we had a video come out where there was a kid who was mistreated by the police officers, and of course it was justified. But at the same time, a few hours before that, I saw a non-Native, I saw a white man get out of his car with an AR-15, and I did not see, I saw the exchange, it was in my front yard, I'll be honest with you, it was in my front yard. And the way he hid, getting out his AR-15, and the cop had just shook in his hand before, you know, giving him his ticket and pulling away, it didn't sit right with me. And when I brought it up with the police chief, this is what I was pointing out, is that, you know, this man could have been a dangerous person, but yet because of the color of his skin, he wasn't taken as serious as someone who is maybe Native American or something else. You know, because the fact of the matter is that when the cops aren't taking mental health crises serious because of the color of someone's skin, there's a good chance, because of the population, that a non-Native, white child, white mother, white family is put at risk when we're not prioritizing all crimes and/or situations.
There is a violence committee, I guess, or task force that is starting, so that it's not easy to keep up with the fact that we're 300,000 people right now. Somebody says it might be a million in the next 10 years. And these people are coming from California, New York, areas where there's different aspects of culture, too. Mm-hmm. It takes a village, though, to raise a child. And that's where I think the Native American community, they're pretty close together, aren't they?
Yeah, a lot of the times, you know, and because of the relocation and the kind of the disassociation from the family structures through boarding schools and child removal, you know, there's a lot of chosen relatives here in Sioux Falls. And so we do all know each other one way or another. And then also you have these fifth, sixth generation settler families who are also here, very much committed to the community as well, who are also, we're all assimilating into the one melting pot. So a lot of these folks know each other and will stick up for each other. But, you know, how do we get them all on the same page?
Pine Ridge, a couple other counties are the poorest in the country. That leads to desperation. Desperation can lead to just about anything. How are we going to fix that?
I think we really just need to kind of buckle down. You know, we need to be looking at our own acceptance of what's expected of folks coming here. You know, because I don't really care where anyone comes from, as long as they're doing things legally, as long as they're doing things ethically. And as if we're the best option for someone to be safe and to thrive and to live without, you know, their lives being in jeopardy every other day just by existing, you know, then why can't we do things to help people?
They're coming here to be safe.
A lot of the times, more times than not, I think, you know, because just like anyone who, like myself, critiquing the police, it all comes down to one, you know, one bad apple can spoil the whole bunch.
Reservation dogs, there's a lot of them. People here in Sioux Falls could, you know, they're mixed breed and make very good dogs. maybe they could start a society for, you know, dogs and get them to homes that, you know, can take care of them. There's some really good dogs out there, out at the reservation.
Oh, on the reservations.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're supposed to touch the dogs. No, I'm just kidding. but you know, one thing that we do know about the way that we treat our expectations when it comes to being American, right? Native Americans are the only people, tribal members specifically, are the only Americans who are looked at with their pedigree. And so, like, I'm 1/32nd French. I'm 31/32nd Native American. You know, I'm going to be the only person in these conversations that know this stuff, because these are crucial to my existence as a tribal member. Even though my children are half of me, because I'm 3 or 4 different tribes, they're not enough of one tribe to be, you know, procreating with someone non-native in order for my grandchildren to stay native. And so it's the pedigree thing, that's the sensitive subject that you brought that up.
With all these gene testing now, they found that 1 out of 200 people are related to Genghis Khan. And I have some Neanderthal genes.
Well, I recently heard that there's a donor here that has, you know, multiple dozens of kids here in the Sioux Falls area, because there was only one clinic that did, you know,
sperm donation.
Yeah.
Well, like I say, there's some interesting things showing up now with that. But the Sioux Falls City Council, it's a strong mayor. How do you see working with it coming up here if you're elected?
I think it could actually be a little beneficial with so many new faces coming in. Obviously, we have 2 uncontested candidates, as well as the opportunity to have 3 more women, myself included, added to city council, which would put it at 4 women and 4 men. And I got to say, that would be one of the first things in Sioux Falls history too, as well. And so if we could just, you know, even the playing field for a lot of the folks in our community, I think that could be a benefit for everyone. And I really just most certainly just look forward to being part of those conversations, but also looking at committees and stuff where I can, my voice and my opinion and my insight on the city can benefit everyone.
Well, I'm learning a lot from you. I grew up here a couple blocks away from the radio station. I'm learning some things from you. Allison Renfield, the candidate for at large for the Sioux Falls City Council, and Jacqueline Franken. Now, our time is going fast. What are some of the things that you want to make sure you get in the next 8 minutes here?
I really hope to just encourage more people to get involved. You know, my entire political career has been around trying to encourage civic engagement, everything from petitioning to protesting to voting to now running for office. You know, it's so important for us to get involved. The more we get involved, the less likely we are to be surprised when things do end up coming around to bite us in our, you know what I mean. But another thing, folks, I hope learn about me in this process is that I have this huge network of opportunity for people. I mentioned Stephanie Herseth, but I also worked for Tim Johnson and every other Democratic party or Democratic candidate since. But then I've also worked for the Obama for America campaign. I was a surrogate for Bernie Sanders in 2016, 2020. And then I have a political action committee. But through my activism as well, I have so many different connections. And I really look forward to opening my network to Sioux Falls.
Are you old enough to remember George McGovern?
Yes. I'm a huge fan of George McGovern. You know, in 2008, I had the benefit of kind of being a mentee to his grandson. I give shout out to Matt McGovern, because he has really, really just been just a good inspiration for us, and it kind of bringing it full circle for me to be able to see it with my own eyes that our folks are as close as we really are. You know, and one thing, you're bringing up George McGovern, and one of my favorite quotes from him is that, you know, as Americans, we have a strong tendency to rally around the flag and their troops, no matter how big of a mistake it could be, or, you know, whatever the situation is. And I think right now, you know, we're too quick to be divisive. We're too quick to, you know, dehumanize people. You know, it doesn't matter the crimes that they're committing at the time. If it's a policy or procedure that is in place for a reason, then we should expect people to abide by those, but also treat others with humanity, because regardless of anyone's mistakes, they don't deserve public prosecution.
Well, to have a good yang, you got to have a good ying. They go together, yin and yang. Allison Renville, for the open at large council in Sioux Falls, it's not easy work. And Jacqueline Franklin, your director of communication, it's not very easy for, it's hard work for you too.
No, but at the same time, I think the community makes it a great access point for people like myself and Allison to be seen, to be heard. The community has been very welcoming to hear diverse voices from a wide variety. And I think that's a part of the civic engagement that makes it possible here. There's a lot of opportunity, and we're really grateful for the opportunity to be heard and to have a little bit of a stage and platform that's been so accepting.
Allison, if you could have a magic wand and wave it right now, as a city councilor, what would you want to do?
I think it would be really nice to see a little bit more compassion and empathy in people, not just for your neighbors, but for the next person wherever you are. We all have so many different trials and tribulations that we're put through on a daily basis. We all have to stick to our faith, and we all have to remember that we are in this together, and Sioux Falls can't become what it's going to be without everyone at the table.
A lot of people are seeing their rent go up. Property tax went up on a lot of things. How do you look at that?
Well, personally, I've seen an increase of $160 to my rent since the time that I moved here. And I really, right now, you know, I spend a lot of time looking at properties and looking at rental properties and stuff throughout the city to see if I can even afford to move closer to the city. And unfortunately, that's just not an option. And it's really a lot of single mothers like myself and or family structures. We have to put that into consideration, because is it really worth moving into a 100-year-old house that's only a 3-bedroom for $1,500 to $2,200? And you have 4 or 5 kids.
Some people, the bank won't loan them a loan because they can't afford $900, but then they have to pay $1,000 for rent.
Exactly. And that's how I got to that anyway, because I was like, well, gee whiz, if I'm already paying this much, I might as well, you know, go get a mortgage or something. But I don't know. It's really hard, because, you know, we also need to be looking at the definition of family and what that structure looks like in Sioux Falls, because right now we have so many people through child removal that are taking on their grandchildren, their nieces and nephews, but also we have a huge shortage of daycare facilities. We have a huge shortage of foster parents. Mm-hmm. And then we also need to be looking at, you know, what does that look like to reconnect and what do they, when you give the child back, it's like, there's a term for it. I don't want to say it's refamiling, but there's a term. It's really cute. I'll tell you about it later. But, you know, we want to reunite these families and keep people together, because, we really need to enforce South Dakota values in Sioux Falls. And I think one of them is for us to see each other as human, but also to see each other as relatives as well.
Allison Renville, now Jacqueline Franklin, you've been taking some notes. What do you want to make sure we get in? We got, our time is running short.
No, I just want to kind of reiterate that, you know, there's been a lot of great focus on the development of Sioux Falls. And I know that with that development, we could definitely get some more philanthropic ventures to support a lot of concerns that some of the voters or other people might be weighing on in the coming times. I know Allison and I have talked about that there is opportunities with an older population and housing, as well as, you know, creating more positions and whatnot with childcare. So I feel like these are really valid concerns, and that we'd like to see an impact and see a little bit more initiative back behind, as well as, you know, treatment and mental health of people with, you know, veterans, and as well of mental disabilities and things like that. We've got a lot of work to do in the community, and I'm really excited to see this candidate potentially make an impact.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate that.
I was going to say our time is running up, but can you use volunteers? How do people get a hold of you if they have ideas or want to maybe get you on a service club speaking tour or something?
Yeah, people can reach me through my website, and they can also contribute through the tabs as well. If you visit www.voterenville.com. jenkinsville.com. You can send me a message and get in touch, and we can reach out and make something happen.
Been getting kind of a grassroots response on your donations?
Oh, yeah. I have had probably around, dozens of small donations of anywhere from $25 to $50. Right now, I have over $3,000 in those small donations, and I'm really proud of the support that, you know, backs me up and believes in me, regardless of amount. You know, it really shows that folks have that faith in my leadership.
Allison Renville for Council at Large, Jacqueline Franklin, Director of Communication, for want to thank you for being with us on Forum.
Thank you so much for having us.